Father, we just thank you so much that I thank you for that story. I thank you that the person that wrote it may not have had a clue of what they were saying, but that was a story of us. And I thank you that this morning you're going to tell us the story of us again and again and again, because you don't ever want us to forget it. I thank you that you want to tell us who we are. That when you look at us, you see yourself. When you look at us, you see glory and honor and holiness and innocence. And we just want to thank you that it's not our job to attain that. It's just who we are. And in the places in our heart where we have a hard time believing it, it's going to be you that's going to persuade our hearts and not us trying to do it in our own strength. Amen. So last week we looked at what the true meaning of forgiveness is, and that we're not able to forgive in our own strength. I know we had been taught that for so many years, so sometimes it's actually difficult to transition over and to realize that it's God that wants to serve us. It's God that wants to put forgiveness in our hearts. And it's nothing that we do. So God began painting a picture of his life of forgiveness and what that looks like. We began exposing old mindsets with the purpose of tearing them down. If we don't tear down the old mindsets first, it's really hard to have a clear vision of what God is showing us. The serpent's belief system plunged the world and man's heart into an anti-God, anti-truth perspective. Our understanding was darkened, and we couldn't see God's perspective anymore. We saw that happen to Adam and Eve in the garden. They were still just like God, but that isn't what they saw, because their understanding was darkened. We didn't know that we were living in darkness until God's life and his truth persuaded our hearts so that we could see what God sees. In Matthew 4:16, it says, "The people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." Isn't that exactly what we experience when God brings us out of the darkness and the wrong belief system and into his life? Would somebody be willing to bring me the clicker? I'm going to give us a real quick review of last week's message to be sure that the right foundation has been laid so we can continue to look at this forgiveness that God's life produces in us. We've all been caught in the trap of trying to forgive someone who has hurt us. Maybe sometimes we thought that we had succeeded in forgiving them, but then later when we see them, the old anger still comes up. And we realize, I haven't forgiven them. Thank you, baby. We've tried, we cried, we gave up, we tried harder, all to no avail. We didn't find it in ourselves to be able to forgive. We've all attempted to forgive people, sometimes for decades. Attempting to do something that we were not created to do will make our hearts sick. It brings a judgment upon ourselves from ourselves. The judgment isn't coming from God. So we suffered at the hands of the wrong belief, and then we believed that God was judging us, even though he wasn't. Why have we spent so many years trying to do something that we weren't created to do? It's because we thought that God commanded us to forgive, didn't we? And there's a reason that we believe that. We were taught it. The church taught that God commanded us to forgive, and we thought the Bible said the same thing. It's hard to trust God with all of our hearts when we think that he's laying heavy burdens on us that we cannot do in our own strength. Have you ever been around somebody that put unreal expectations on you? Yeah. Sorry. It's going to get better. That's why God's got me preaching this. They were always looking over you, watching your every move. You were very aware of your shortcomings and at the same time very aware of their expectations. Did you enjoy being around that person? No. Thank you. That is the picture that the serpent painted of God to us. It made us feel uncomfortable, guilty, and shameful when we were around God. This is the perspective of the serpent's belief system. It came from that wrong belief, not from God. Now we're going to look at God's perspective of that same scenario. He is adoring us with all of his being, but we stay away from him because we think he's upset with us. We think he's disappointed in us. We're always telling him that we're sorry. We're sorry. We're sorry. But God has never once thought anything negative about us. In fact, he has never connected those things that we were judging ourselves for with who we are. He loves who you are. He loves everything about you. And honestly, all he wants to do is spend all of his time loving you and helping you. That is God's heart. And he wants to remove the shades from our eyes so we can see what he sees when he looks at us. God never told you to forgive. Isn't that hard to believe? God never told you to forgive. Now, we thought he did, and we misinterpreted scriptures, and we heard wrong teachings that told us that God commanded us to forgive. But he never expected us to forgive. When God created you, he did not give you the ability to forgive in your own strength. Forgiveness comes from God and his life. It's his fruit and not ours. Before we go any further, I want to remind you what forgiveness is not. Because we also grew up with a wrong understanding of forgiveness, especially the kind of forgiveness that we read about in the Bible. Our idea of forgiveness was somebody wronged us, and then we got mad. Then we needed to get over it and forgive them, meaning that we wouldn't be mad at them anymore and have no ill feelings towards them. The end goal was to struggle to get to the place that you could pray for them and love them. Notice I said struggle. How do you move from point A to point B? How do you make yourself love someone that you can't stand? I went through many forgiveness exercises that I was taught in Christian growth classes. I remember one of them very vividly. I was told to write down on a piece of paper the name of the person that had wronged me and what they had done. And then I was supposed to cut up that paper with a pair of scissors and throw it in the trash. Come on. Are you kidding me? The trash can be picked up the next day, but the pain is still in my heart. They can't come and pick that up in their weekly schedule. In fact, writing down those wrongs and the person's name actually secured the lies in my heart even deeper. It told me that the person that did that to me was that person, and that is a lie. Today, God is going to persuade our hearts that we've been singing that Somebody Done Me Wrong song, it's all wrong. The truth is, nobody has done anything wrong to you. Hard to swallow, isn't it? You bet it is. No way you say, I saw what they did to me. I saw it was them. I saw what I did. All that anger that we've been holding on to against others and ourselves, it's all been for naught. We have misplaced anger. We all have. We've been drinking Kool-Aid from the wrong pitcher. So forgiveness is not getting over being angry and then being okay with the person and eventually being able to love them. That is not the forgiveness in the Bible. It actually waters down what forgiveness is. It's so much lower than what God's forgiveness is and what God means when he talks about forgiveness. So we're going to look at what forgiveness really is. It's any kind of separation of one thing from another by which the union or fellowship of the two is destroyed. What does that mean to us? Forgiveness is not about getting over being angry. It's seeing the actions as separate from the people. God never did see the actions that came from us as who we are. God never saw ourselves or anybody else connected to what they did or didn't do. Who they are is not determined by what actions come from them. It's seeing that it wasn't actually the person themselves that did the action. It's seeing what God sees. It's seeing ourselves separate from any actions that we might see manifest from us. God's forgiveness destroys any union between us and our actions. Wow. God's forgiveness destroys any union between others and their actions. Do you know why? Because it wasn't even them that did it. What if I said, you know what? I saw Maurice the other day, and I saw him steal something. And it wasn't even true. What would that do to Maurice's heart? What would that do to our relationship? That is what has been going on. A totally wrong belief system where we have all been tricked into looking at people, connecting them to their actions, and then making judgments about them. And we can say, well, I don't do it all the time. You live with yourself, don't you? We do it to ourselves all the time. And it's not just us and people. It's God also. It happened between us and God. Now, that might be a bit of a stretch for us to comprehend because we've seen it so differently for so long. We think we saw them do it. We saw ourselves do it. It sure looks like that. But we don't want to see things with our eyes anymore. So many times we only see what's on the surface, and we don't have the ability to see what's really happening unless we see the way God sees it. We need a revelation of what God sees. Okay, you ready? God sees our actions are determined by what belief system we are living in. I'm going to say that again. God sees our actions are determined by what belief system we are living in. They're not determined by who we are or who we are not. We can see this truth easier if we see ourselves as this branch. In John 15:5, Jesus said, we were the branches. And you can't produce any fruit in yourself. Didn't he say that? Why did we think that we were supposed to produce forgiveness? Why have we tried for so many years to do something that Jesus said we couldn't do? This branch cannot produce any fruit. Why? Is it because it's a bad branch? No. Is it because the branch isn't as it ought to be? No, it's because the branch was never created to produce fruit. What about this branch? Can this branch produce any fruit in itself? No, it cannot. It just so happens that this branch was connected to good soil, God's belief system, and that's why we have life in it, not in its own strength. The branch is actually an innocent, and I really mean innocent, bystander. It's at the mercy of the soil that it's planted in. It does not have the power to choose the kind of fruit that is manifested on it. Aren't we all good examples of that? Have you ever done something you didn't want to do? Have you ever said, I'm never going to do that again? Only within the week or maybe even the next day, boom, there it is. Did it again. Have you ever not done something that you wanted to do? The fruit is produced by the death or the life that comes from the belief system, not the branches and not from us. And guess what? The fruit that we see manifesting from other people, it's not them that's producing it. It's the same principle as with the branch and with us. It depends on what belief system they're living in. People are not the ones producing the fruit, good or bad. You are not the one producing the fruit, good or bad. Here we have beautiful flowers. And this is the system of death. It's just a bunch of plastic. It cannot give this plant any life. So if I put these beautiful flowers into this system of death, what do you think is going to happen? Death. The flowers are going to die. They were created beautiful. What's wrong? Why would they start to droop and wither and die? That's what happened to mankind. That's what happened to God's man, the children that he adored. He made them beautiful, just like him, and they were just as they ought to be. But then they got planted in the serpent's belief system, and they began to see all manner of death begin to manifest on them. God saw this too. But the problem is man thought, this is who I am. And God never did get confused. God saw the belief system was our enemy, not ourselves. If we take the same beautiful flowers and we plant it into a system of life or God's belief system, they're going to bear beautiful fruit. Is it the plants? Is it the plant that produces it? Are we going to blame the plant if it's planted in a system of death? Are we going to say that was a bad plant? No. It's where the plant is planted. Same thing with us. If we believe that there is something wrong with us, if we believe that we're not like God, if we believe that we're not as we ought to be, guess what system we're living in? Death. It's death. It's the serpent that said there was something wrong with you. It's the serpent that said you weren't like God. God never said that. And so when we see people manifesting actions or fruit that's death, it doesn't mean they're bad. It doesn't even mean there's anything wrong with them. It just means they don't know what God sees when he looks at them. God's belief system says, you are good. You are just as you ought to be. You are just like God. You are innocent, blameless, and holy. God is always pleased with you. When you are planted in that belief system and that's what's filling your heart, God's fruit will manifest from you effortlessly. It will just happen. The burden is not on you to perform. It never was. That's why Jesus said we were the branches. He was telling us that God never wanted or expected us to try to do anything in our own strength, not forgive, not produce any kind of holiness. But the serpent's belief system says you are not good. You are not as you ought to be. You are not like God, but you can become like God if you work really hard. If you really try to forgive and you really try to be good, then you can become like God. That is death. And it doesn't produce the fruit that we're wanting to see. It actually produces all manner of death. Paul said it this way in Romans 7. We're going to go through this quickly, but I'm going to take a verse at a time instead of putting it all together like I did last week. Romans 7:15-16. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Paraphrased. I don't understand my actions. I don't do what I want to do. In fact, I do the very things that I hate. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Paraphrased. I know what is the good thing to do. I know what the law is. I know what the law says. I know that it's good to not steal. I know it's bad to lie. I know what is the right thing. And I don't want to do the wrong thing. And yet that's the very thing I end up doing. Don't you start feeling some compassion for a person that's caught in that situation? Haven't we all been there? We so want to do this. And no matter how much we try, we just can't get there. Romans 7:17. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Did you hear that? It's not I that do it. This is the Bible, King James, Romans 7. That means it isn't me that's doing the wrong action, but it is the sin. Not sin action, but sin, the wrong belief system that says I am not like God. I am not as I ought to be. That dwells in me, and that's what does it. Not us. The belief system causes the fruit, not us. Romans 7:18. For I know that in me dwelleth no good thing. Now, for a long time, we just sat there, and didn't we agree with that part of it? That's right. I know in me dwells no good thing. But that isn't what that means. That means that in my flesh, for I know that in me, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. I know that in my flesh, in my own strength, I do not have the ability to do good. I know that my flesh was not created with the ability or the power to do good in itself. But I, the real me, desires to do only good. But I can't find the ability in my own strength to do the good that I want to do. Even though I only ever want to do good, I am not able to do it. Romans 7:19. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. I don't do the good I want to do, but I do the evil that I don't want to do. Verse 20. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now, if I do what I don't want to do, it is not me that's doing it. But the sin belief system is doing the wrong I don't want to do. Those are some powerful verses. And I think that just because it was so wordy that we haven't really gotten in there and dug deep enough to realize what it was saying. And I think there was another belief system that we had grown up with for decades that said exactly the opposite. So when we read it, we didn't really grasp what it was saying to us. The sin that it's talking about in these scriptures is not actions. It's not fruit. It's the belief system that you're not as you ought to be. If you don't believe that you're the way you ought to be, you're going to do things that you don't want to do. But it's not going to be you. It's not going to be you. And God wants us to know that. Because as long as we continue to judge ourselves by our actions, we're not going to be able to have our eyes open to see what God sees when he looks at us. And listen to the end of Romans 7. And we can all relate to that. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ah, yes, it's a wretched place to judge man as being the one that is evil. Yes, it's wretched to be judging ourselves as evil. But look at the answer. The answer is God brought us the answer in Jesus. How did he do that? He said, let me show you who you are. This is my son, Jesus. This is a perfect reflection of me, and he is a perfect reflection of you and who you are. And I want you to see him, that in spite of the fact that he had all of the sin and death in the world on him, I saw him holy and innocent. And I raised him up to show you who you are. And how did he raise up Jesus? Perfect and innocent, glorified, seated at his right hand. That is a picture of you. God wants you to see yourself in the same way. This ability to see ourselves and other people apart from the actions that we see manifesting, can only be done in God's strength. Only God's life can produce that ability. It can't be done in our own strength. So this is not a message to be telling you what you should do and what you shouldn't be doing. God's desire is to free us from the bondage of the work of judging and forgiveness. Satan's belief system, who you are is not who you ought to be, and you are not like God, that is going to produce the works of the flesh. God's belief system is full of life. Anything planted in his system will produce his fruit. God is painting a picture for us so that we can see what he sees when he looks at man. He wants to loan us his eyes so we can see what he sees. Man is his prize and his glory, a full reflection of who he is. God created man as they ought to be. The canvas that he's painting is full of light and love and glory. The canvas is you. You are that canvas. And God wants you to see who you are. In Luke chapter 6, verses 37 and 38, I said that I was going to pick another scripture that has been misinterpreted, that God was telling us to forgive, and so this is the one for today. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now, I'm sure you all used to believe what I used to believe about this scripture, and it was saying that if I didn't stop judging other people, then God would judge me. If I stop condemning other people, then God wouldn't condemn me. But if I couldn't stop condemning them, God would condemn me. If I didn't forgive others, then God would not forgive me. Now, I have one question. Do you see anything in those scriptures that even mentions God? Where did we get that? You want to guess who put that little lie in our hearts? This scripture isn't even about God. This is describing God's belief system and how it operates. In this system, if you don't judge people by their actions, you won't judge yourself by your actions. Don't judge others, and you won't judge yourself. Isn't that just so simple? When you don't condemn others, you won't condemn yourself. Because whatever measure you use to judge somebody else, that is the exact same measure you are going to use to judge yourself and condemn yourself. Didn't Jesus say it? I don't know where this scripture is, but he said, before you try to take the speck out of your brother's eye, get the plank out of your own. If we're going to judge somebody else, then we're going to judge ourselves. But the truth is that their actions have already been divorced from who they are. Your actions have been divorced from who you are. We only saw with darkened understanding, and so we connected our actions with who we were. God never did. If we don't try and judge and condemn and punish others, it's because we are in God's belief system. We understand, and so we don't judge them, and we also don't judge ourselves. We can separate our actions from who we are, as well as separate their actions from who they are. I don't want anybody to misinterpret what I'm saying. I don't want some young teenager to hear this and think that I'm saying this is a get-out-of-jail-free card. And that means you can just throw care to the wind and you can just do whatever you want because it isn't you doing it anyway. So we live in a very fallen, real world. And in this world, we have consequences. And not all things that happen in this world are profitable to us. What I'm talking about is who we are. We are not the actions that come from us. When we live in God's belief system, it causes us to separate people's actions from who they are. Notice, it causes. We don't cause it. It's God's belief system. And his belief system is what produces that fruit in us. In John 8:15, Jesus said, "Ye judge after the flesh," meaning what people saw externally. "I judge no man." The carnal man that's living in the serpent's belief system will judge people by their actions, but God does not. Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 24, "Judge not according to the appearance, by what you see externally, but judge righteous judgment." Wow. Judge innocent. Judge holy. Judge and see what God sees. God sees innocence. God sees holiness when he looks at us. God is offering us a life, his life, that is free of judgment and condemnation. It's called forgiveness. It's the way he lives. It's who he is. It is nothing that we can do in our own strength. It's his life setting us free from the system of sin and death. It's God's life, so we see what he sees. All are innocent. All are holy. All are blameless. We have been so accustomed to the system of sin and death that anything else that we hear can seem foreign to us at first. God is not asking, and he has never demanded that we forgive. He knows that we can't, and he didn't create us with the ability to do it. Have you ever thought about how you feel when you're judging somebody? It isn't nice. We're angry, we're miserable, we're fuming. Our blood pressure's rising up. We can't really think straight. It's the same way when we do that to ourselves, isn't it? It's really misery. And God doesn't ever want us to suffer. And so he's saying, take my life, live out of what I see, and you'll be filled with joy and peace. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about how we viewed God through this belief system. Our carnal view of God's forgiveness towards us was that God was mad at you because you did something wrong, but he got over it. And so he put your sins onto Jesus, and so Jesus got punished in your place, and now he's not mad at you anymore. You know, maybe at the very beginning, that sounded like good news when we thought God ever thought anything good of us. That was a good thing. But when you look at this, this is not a good thing. How would you like it if your dad took your big brother outside and beat him up and said, hey, I did that to him because of what you just did, and so I'm not mad at you anymore. I won't beat you up. Are you going to feel real safe around that guy? I wouldn't. I wouldn't trust him. I'd say there's something not right here. That is not God's forgiveness. This is the truth in God's belief system. God never was mad at you. God never was mad at man. He never judged us by our behavior. He doesn't judge anyone according to the flesh. Jesus was not punished in your place. You never needed to be punished. All you needed was to be set free from the trap of sin and death. That is what Jesus did on the cross for you. He set you free from the trap of sin and death. Did that trap come from God? No. That trap did not come from God. God's anger only went onto the belief system of sin and death that was killing his children. God says it was not you that did those actions that you didn't want to do. You were in a trap, and it wasn't your own making. You were in a system that was killing you. You have always been holy and innocent and blameless. You are as you ought to be. You are just like me. I never saw your identity based on the fruit that manifested on you. I have come to separate you from the serpent's belief system and destroy all the remnants of that union in your mind, so you can see what I have always seen. As far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your transgressions from you. God never saw your actions coming from you. You saw it. It was your darkened understanding. It was my darkened understanding. God wants us to have a revelation of this. What does God see when he looks at you? He sees holiness. He sees innocence. Pure from every fault. It's also what he sees when he sees all people. All people. God created everyone just like himself. How could there be anything bad in people if they're just like God? 1 John 4:17 says, "In this is love brought to perfection among us, that we have confidence on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." Doesn't say we'll be like him when we're on the other side. Says we're like him right now. And that's what God wants to persuade our hearts of all the time. We have been made like God. We are like God. And so is everybody else. So what's the problem? In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." These things that it's talking about, verse 8 says what they are: faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, endurance, devotion, affection, love, all the things of God. All the things of God. They're the fruits of the Spirit, and they're only produced by the life of God. If these fruits are not manifesting from you, it's only because you've forgotten that you're holy. You've forgotten that you're blameless. You've forgotten that you're just like God. That's why God is continuing to persuade our hearts, that every week in this church we hear about how good we are, how good God is. Because when we go out into the world presses in on us. We press in on ourselves. Other people press in on us. And we are tempted to believe that we're not as we ought to be. We're tempted to believe that we're not holy, that we're not blameless. But it's only because we've forgotten who we really are that causes the fruit that we don't want to see to manifest from us. So that means that if you don't see self-control, and I'm going to just pick that one because that's a doozy, I think. If you don't have self-control flowing from you, all that means is that you've forgotten who you are. It doesn't mean that you're a bad person. How many times I have said that when I have lost control? I am such a bad person. No, I've forgotten that I'm a good person. That's all that's happened. When we see other people not manifesting the life of God, guess what? They aren't bad either. They've just forgotten who they are. They've forgotten that they're holy and blameless and just like God. Wouldn't it be nice if we reminded them instead of agreeing with them and judging them? Not that we can do that in our own strength. Okay, that would be the life of God just effortlessly flowing through us. It's not something we do. God's going to do it. God is serving us with forgiveness. I've used this example in children's church because it's such an extreme example. It's going to be challenging, but it's the truth. And sometimes the truth comes and it challenges every thought and belief that's against itself. So here we go. Hitler was good. How can I say that? Because Hitler is not what his actions were. Hitler's actions did not say who he was. That isn't what gave him his identity. God created Hitler. Did God create Hitler bad? No. God created Hitler good. just like himself. So what happened? Hitler's actions were a result of the terrible trap he was in that condemned him to lies and death. Hitler, the real Hitler, who he really was, only wanted to do good to all people. But the very things he wanted to do, he couldn't do. In fact, he did the very things that he didn't want to do. He did what he hated. God never saw Hitler and his actions connected to each other. They were as far away from him as the East is to the West. God had destroyed that union that tried to connect Hitler with his actions. Where did that union come from? It came from the serpent's belief system, not from God. We all got caught in this trap, not of our own making. All were dying in this trap that caused them to do things that they didn't want to do. But when we look at an extreme case like Hitler, it's going to challenge our beliefs and our judgments and our thoughts that we've hung on to for so many years. People would say that Hitler was a monster. God didn't make monsters. I'm sorry. That cannot be true. That cannot be true. The problem is, the system that Hitler lived in was this system. And he stayed in it. And that is what produced the actions of death and destruction that manifested from him. So God wants to take all of us off the hook. His hook? No. Sin and death's hook. Sometimes the person hardest to forgive is yourself. Why is that? Because we hold ourselves to such high standards of behavior and action. We know what we want to do, and we get very upset with ourselves when we're not able to do it. We blame ourselves for what we can't do instead of seeing it that it's the serpent's belief system that caused those actions and not us. So we can all take a deep breath and relax. We haven't done the wrong that we have hated for so long. Not the real you. You might see actions coming from yourself that you don't like, but that is not you. You are just like God. Perfect, holy, and blameless. You only ever want to do good. That person that rubs you the wrong way, that makes your skin crawl when you're around them, that person that upsets you when they walk into the room, guess what? They're just like God too. They are holy. They are blameless. They are perfect. God wants us to be able to see this. It's what he sees. He wants to show you the man that he created, and he wants you to see who you are. He wants you to see the innocence of God. As I mentioned last week, I was in satanic rituals as a little girl. I saw, heard, and did things that people shouldn't even know exist. It took me years to forgive those people. No, let me say that correctly. I never could have forgiven those people if I'd have tried for a million years. It was not in me. I did not have the ability to forgive them. But God forgave those people for me. His life produced forgiveness in me. And I'm going to tell you how he did it. Because you know, you would think, oh my gosh, that must have really been awful. God showed me that those people were in the trap of sin and death. He showed me it wasn't even them that did those things to me, but it was the wrong belief system that caused it. They were not the ones who hurt me. God showed me then how much they suffered in this trap of sin and death. They were in the trap too. I never even realized that until God showed me. He showed me that they suffered more than I did. That is forgiveness. It didn't come from me. And what it produces is love and compassion to the very people that I thought harmed me. When we can see what God sees, it takes those dark places of fear and anger and hate, and you get set free. The judgment is gone. I don't have any reason to judge those people. I am so free. It wasn't even them that did it. It was the wrong belief system that they were stuck in that caused that behavior. And you know, some of these people I really knew personally. One of them was my grandfather. And I got to watch his life as he got older. He was such a miserable person. He wouldn't go to church. He felt horrible about himself all the time. He lived in guilt and shame. And people would always ask, "Why are you so ashamed? Why are you so ashamed?" He never could talk about it. But you know, a week before he died, he accepted God's forgiveness. And he got set free. And I'm going to get to see him one day. And it's going to be a totally different set of circumstances. We're going to be dancing. We're going to be enjoying each other. We're both going to be able to be free because we'll both know who we really are. He thought he was evil. He thought he was bad. That's the only thing that could manifest out of him. And he taught me that I was evil. And he taught me that I was bad. And until God set me free and began persuading my heart that who I am is holy and innocent, I couldn't get free. I couldn't get free from the very things that I didn't want to do. But when God comes in and he does it and he persuades your heart of who you are, those things that you can't stand that you see manifesting from you, they'll just fall off. This is the same kind of life that flowed out of Jesus when he was nailed to the cross. He separated the actions of the people from who they were, didn't he? The very people that had nailed him to the cross. He saw them in a trap that they didn't even know they were in. That's why Jesus said they didn't know what they were doing. We're going to take a close look at that scripture for a second. It's in Luke, is it 12? I might have a typo here. I think it's Luke 23. Luke 23, verse 34. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Who did the forgiving, Jesus or the Father? Ooh. Jesus let the forgiveness come from the Father. But Jesus knew the Father forgave them. Jesus knew the belief system that he saw the Father live in because he lived in the same belief system. He knew his Father didn't judge these men by their actions. That was why Jesus didn't judge them either. It was the life of God flowing through him. Jesus was actually acknowledging the triumph of God's belief system over the serpents. As far as those that had crucified Jesus, it wasn't even them doing it. It was the wrong belief system that had them caught in its grip of death. And so death is what was manifesting from their members. But it wasn't them doing it. God never planned for us to forgive anyone in our own strength. Forgiveness is not our work, but a work that God does in our hearts. God did the forgiving for Jesus. Jesus didn't have to do anything in his own strength. Why is it that we continue to think that God expects us to do things in our own strength? I think it's because we grew up in a church that's what we were taught, because that's what our teachers believed also. But in John 6:28 and 29, when the people went to Jesus and asked him what they should do to the work of God, did Jesus tell them to forgive others? Did Jesus tell them to do everything right? No. He told them to believe in what Jesus had done for them. That was it. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our battle isn't with people. The real battle is with the belief system that tries to exalt itself against the truth of God. And that battle belongs to God. He fights that wrong belief system of sin and death for us by telling us the truth. He tells us the truth about ourselves. He tells us the truth about other people. And he tells us the truth about himself. The truth about those who have hurt you, they never really hurt you. It was the trap of the serpent's belief system that hurt you. They only ever wanted to do good to you. The very thing they wanted to do for you, they couldn't do. And the very things that they didn't want to do to you is what happened. It wasn't them that did it. It was the serpent's belief system. Have you ever wondered how Paul was able to forgive himself? Remember, he was responsible for having Christians killed and tortured. Or was he? Paul received the revelation from God that it was not him that caused those things. It was the belief system of sin and death that had caused it. You know, Paul's the one that wrote Romans 7. He had to have understood it. He knew the real him didn't do any of those things. The real him only wanted to do good, but ended up doing the very things that he hated. Why? Because the belief system that he was planted in told him a lie. It told him that Christians were evil. Those that followed Jesus were evil. And the right thing to do was kill them. And that is the belief system that caused the problems, not Paul. How will you forgive yourself? You can't. God will work his forgiveness in your heart until you can see what he sees. Your battle has never been with you. Your problem has never been you. God wants to set us free from judging ourselves. What about God? We have all judged God wrongly at one time or another. It started way early. The serpent's belief system got offered up to Adam and Eve, and they believed that God was somebody that he wasn't. They believed God was judging them and wanted to punish them, and they became afraid of him. We have all at one time or another believed that God was responsible for something that happened in our life, or he didn't fix something we wanted fixed in the way we wanted it fixed. But the truth is that God is for us 24/7. He is always, always working on our behalf. I mean, he doesn't even want us work to forgive. He wants to do that for us. He's not withholding any good thing from us. He is always with us. But have you ever experienced a time where you didn't understand what was going on, you were upset, and you thought, where's God? It's not even possible for God to not be with us. But those thoughts come, and God wants to free us from believing lies about him. God has never let us down. He's always helping us. He is only love and goodness. He only has love and goodness to give you, and he's serving you and blessing you 24/7. Only God can free us from the lies that we've believed about him. We often don't even know why we can't trust God, but he understands. He knows it all. He sees where the lies have crept in. He sees the trap that we're caught in, and he wants to set us free. This forgiving is a work of God, not of ourselves. God wants to set us free with the truth. He wants to persuade your heart that he is good, and he only wants good for you. He only is goodness. He wants you to know that you're good, you're perfect, and you're blameless. He wants you to know that everybody is perfect and good and blameless. The serpent's belief system has hurt you, not people. God is painting a picture in our hearts so we can see what he sees. It's his life. It's his belief system. And it sets us free from the trap of lies that we have been caught in. It's God who lends us his eyes so that we can see what he sees. And we thank you, Father, that you adore us, that when you look at us, you see yourself. When you look at us, you see innocence and holiness and blamelessness. We thank you that you are the one that persuades our heart. You are the one that doesn't get tired. You are the one that serves us with forgiveness night and day. Forgiveness towards ourselves, forgiveness towards others, and forgiveness towards you. We thank you that we can rest in who you say we are, in who you say others are, and who you say you are. We thank you, God, for serving us your forgiveness. Amen.